If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at meritassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
And good day to you, Brevard County. Welcome back to the Refresh Radio program right here in beautiful Brevard County, Central Brevard County to be exact. We are located here in the WMIE studios on 520 in Cocoa, Florida. And what a blessing it is to live in this great community. So my name's Bob Arthurs. I pastor Merit Assembly of God, 165 North Grove Street. If you do not have a church home, Merit Assembly of God would love to have you come and be a part of what God is doing there. We have been around a day or two. In fact, we are getting closer and closer to our 30th anniversary of being pastors of the church. We're going to be celebrating that on December the 11th, and that's getting closer and closer by the minute. A dear friend of mine is going to come and going to be sharing the word, and I tell people, don't blink. 30 years goes by. I was only, you know, a baby and still in diapers when I became the pastor. Not really, but it seems like it wasn't very long ago, and three decades have passed. You just can't afford to blink. You know, the Bible talks about redeeming the time, for the days are evil. And so make the most of the opportunities that you have. And, you know, when we first came, I think I've told you the history a number of times where every church I'd ever been at, I thought I was going to be there forever. By the time I got to Merit Assembly of God, I'd never been at a church for longer than 3 years, and God would move me on. And they weren't moves I was looking for. They were moves that found me. And that's, you know, I've always looked at God as my commander in chief. And so by the time I got here, I said, you know, God, I would tell you I was going to be here forever, but that really doesn't look like the way things have gone so far. And so I just want to make sure that Merit Assembly of God is in better shape than it was when I got here. And, you know, God has been very, very good. This has the potential of being one of our finest years in our 70-year history of a church. And, you know, so we're going to celebrate here in a few days, and would love to have any Refresh listeners that want to come and celebrate with us. You're more than welcome. You are part of our congregation. It's just a big, big sanctuary that I don't get to see everybody's face. And so there's a lot of people that I run into that listen. And I know the people at Secure, Safe, and Lock on Courtney Parkway in Merritt Island. They listen. So good morning, ladies. And we just run into people probably two or three times a month that we run into somebody that we've never met before. And then they recognize the voice and end up coming up and saying something, or I say something to them once they make that known. So if you do not have a church home, you might not have been part of my first 30 years there, but come and be a part of what God is going to do in the future. We believe that the opportunities are white unto harvest, and all we need is the Lord of the harvest to send forth some laborers. We told God, anything that you said you wanted us to do, we will do. You've just got to provide the laborers and the resources, and he's provided the resources. Now we just need the laborers, and you may be the answer to that prayer. We are going today to the book of Matthew, chapter 7. We are going to be finishing the Sermon on the Mount, which is Matthew 5, 6, and 7. We've already been through Matthew 5 and 6. And verse number 1 of Matthew 7 says, "Judge not, that you be not judged. For with what judgment you judge, you will be judged, and with the measure you use, it will be measured back to you. And why do you look at the speck in your brother's eye, but do not consider the plank in your own eye? Or how can you say to your brother, let me remove that speck from your eye, and look, a plank is in your own eye? Hypocrite, first remove the plank from your own eye, and then you will see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye. Just as a point of observation before we get back into the things I have jotted down here, I want you to know that in teaching this, Jesus does not justify the plank of sin in our eye, nor does it justify the speck of sin that may be in a person's eye. He says both of them need to be dealt with. You and I, we've got to deal with our issues so that we can be in the proper spiritual position, the proper spiritual mindset to deal with the delicate matters of dealing with this, with sin in another person's life. A lot of people want to deal with sin in another person's life with a sledgehammer that I have. I've got a serious, serious sledgehammer. It is a beast. I'm not talking about a 4 pound or a 6 pound or an 8 pound. I think it's a 16 pound sledgehammer. I mean, you get it up and you let it fall. Most of the professional contractors that I've dealt with, they're like, I don't want to have anything to do with that sledgehammer. And believe me, it was an accident when I bought it. I had a moment of mental lapse, and I'm not built to swing a 16-pound sledgehammer, but it's the one I got, and I might as well let that bad boy do the work. So I just try and guide it to where it needs to go, and then let gravity help it along its way. So I don't want to deal with people's sin with a sledgehammer. I want to deal with it with the tender, loving mercies of the Lord. So we talked on yesterday's program, we talked about dealing with ourselves first. We talked about making judgments by the word, not by any other standard. And that the motive, the objective of the dealing with someone and making a judgment was to see them repent and receive the mercy of God. And so that brings us to where we are today. And, I'd like to say, first off, that this passage that we just read is not meant by Jesus the way that the world is utilizing this verse. It is not meant as a statement to justify immoral or sinful behavior. It's not meant to justify immoral or sinful behavior. I've actually encountered some people through the years that said, I know that the Bible says this is sin, and I've talked to God about it, and God has given me a special dispensation for this. And my response is always the same. That wasn't God. God doesn't have special dispensations for sin. He can't look on it. He doesn't bless it. He doesn't endorse it. And so you and I, we need to say, well, you cannot judge me as to whether this is sinful behavior or not. Well, I can turn to the Word of God and see what God has said. And I will tell you that because the Word of God is remarkably clear on what is and is not acceptable in his sight, that is one of the reasons why the enemy is working so diligently to try and undermine the proclamation of the Word of God. The forces of evil would try and isolate the Word of God so that people would not know it. And if they do know it, you know, there was a time where if you went up and said, well, the Bible says this, people would say, oh, well, that's the Bible. That's the Word of God. I should probably change the way I look on things. Now you go up and tell somebody, oh, the Bible says this, and they're going to say, so? And it's not because the Bible has changed. It's because man's inclination has changed. No longer inclined to accept the things of God, don't even want to hear about God. And as a result, their entire mindset is what Romans chapter 1 describes as depraved. It's corrupted. So I received a message not too long ago that said, that there was a file that was corrupt. So you know what I did? I deleted that entire file. We don't want that sort of stuff going on. If I knew that my drinking water was corrupted or polluted, I wouldn't be drinking that. You know, the people that provide our drinking water, if there is a breach in the system, they issue a boil water alert notice. They say, you're not supposed to utilize this water until it has come back that we have dealt with the problem. Why would we think that there's a higher standard for the water we drink than the spiritual lives that we lead that are going to be in existence for eternity, either in the presence of Jesus or out of the presence of Jesus? So please do not try and justify immoral or sinful behavior and say, well, you know, I'm just going to go ahead and do this and nobody should judge me about that, because the Bible is very clear. God is the judge of the spirits of all mankind. It's his standard. It's his standard. And so it's not about, I mean, quite frankly, if I told you something was right or wrong and didn't give you the spiritual anchor or support or foundation for that opinion from the Word of God, then all it is an opinion. And everybody has opinions. But when it is the eternal Word of God, I guarantee you it's not going to justify sinful behavior. And unfortunately, there are too many pulpits across America that are silent when it comes to dealing with sin, and people are feeling approved and blessed and justified while living contrary to the Word of God. And that is a position that I don't ever want to find myself in. Somebody asked me recently, what are you going to do if, this type of person comes into your church? And I said the same thing that I have always done with any type of sin. I am not going to discriminate. You know, I've had people who were drug addicts that sat in my church. I've had people who were alcoholics that sat in my church. I've had people who were immoral that sat in my church. You know what I did with each and every one of them? You are welcome to come and hear the Word of God and have the opportunity to repent. I know of people who have, unfortunately, they, pre-Christ coming into their life, they did horrible things to people. I don't know them personally, but I know someone that does. They actually took a life. And God worked miraculously in their situation. They were born again, and now they're fully equipped and called into the ministry, and is a major influence in a lot of people's lives. So don't use the Word of God. Don't try and use. Don't judge me, because you want it to justify immoral or sinful behavior. If God said it was sin in the Word of God, it's still sin in 2022. How does our character align with the truth of God's Word? I tell people Christians are pretty good at events. We can put on an event. As long as it's just kind of an isolated thing, bam, we can do that, whether it's a conference here or a festival or whatever. People come together and they can do events. But we are called to be the body of Christ. We're supposed to manifest the fruit of the Spirit and the gifts of the Spirit on a regular basis. It should not just be an organized event. I believe that holiness should be organic inside the body of Christ. It should be our default. We have a system at our church that we use to live stream. It was set up by people who are smarter than I am. I'm kind of like the backup guy in all of the systems, and that is I know how to turn the machine on. That's about it. You name the system, and I know something about it, but I may not know enough to not get me in trouble. And so this live streaming system, we had a season where our live stream, it changed as far as the color on the live stream. We didn't think we'd done anything, but inadvertently we had pressed a button, and it changed, and I didn't know how to solve it. And so I called the person, and they said, look, I've created this preset button. And anytime something goes amiss, now that this one here was a little more complicated, there was a lever or a slide switch that had been inadvertently touched, because it's right next to the on-off switch. And but for most of our problems, to remedy them, all I've got to do is hit the preset button, and it reconfigures back to its default that was programmed into it by the person who knew what they were doing. One of our errant perspectives on God as far as a modern contemporary society is we think that we are smarter than God when it comes to leading a victorious life, and that's an insult to the God who's literally redeemed people from the brinks of eternal destruction and has been successfully leading billions of people through their lives in holiness through the years. So let's make sure that we model the character of our Savior and not allow bad company to corrupt our character. Character has got to align with the truth of God's word. Not just the events that we do, but our character. We need to be people of truth. We need to be people of worship. Like I said, bad company corrupts good character. That doesn't mean that you never interact with people who are unbelievers. That means when you interact with people as that are unbelievers, you don't allow their character, their company, to influence your character. You are there to minister life and to minister truth to them. I've had multiple conversations with a bunch of different individuals through the years. I've got a family member that's not living for Jesus, they'd say, and you know, I'm trying to build that relationship. Should I do this? Should I skip church in order to lead this person to Jesus? Well, let me tell you how that works. It doesn't work out the way that you think it does. We need to get back to the Word of God. I remember one time there was a person, and we were really wanting to see them come to Jesus, and there were people who were trying to patronize the sin and all of that sort of stuff, and I was like, I'm not doing that. And they said, well, why not? I said, because it's not biblical. It's not biblical. And I said, I want them to know that God loves them. I want them to know that I love them. And I also want them to know that they need to repent. And, you know, whenever you operate your life like that, you know, sometimes you end, when you start doing things God's way, you end up getting God's type of results. I had a situation one time, I had tried the same technique over and over and over again, and I kept getting the same results. By the way, you know, that's one of the definitions of insanity, is you do the same thing and expect to get different results. I don't know how accurate that definition is. There's been a lot of other faulty definitions of it. Anyway, one day I was praying, and God said, how's that going? I said, it's not going well at all, which was no surprise to him. And, he said, well, why don't you try doing it my way? Now, you need to understand that mercy is my primary gifting. That doesn't mean that I don't have other giftings. That's just my default, because I've needed a lot of mercy in my life. And so I like to show a lot of mercy. But a person told me one time, sometimes the gift of mercy, the most merciful thing it can do is step back and let exhortation step up. And so I said, well, God, you know what I've tried. That hasn't worked. What do you want me to do? And he told me what to do. And things went from bad to worse to phenomenal. You know, I don't know if you've ever renovated a house or not. But if you've got something that's ugly and you want it to be beautiful, it gets uglier before it gets beautiful. And I will tell you, God is not only the beginning of redemptive processes, he's also the journey, and he's also the conclusion. And he knows the steps that need to be taken. So you and I, we need to make sure that we are the people of influence through God's word influencing us, rather than allowing society to influence our character to where we end up having the same faulty view of God's word that many unbelievers have. Judge not lest you be judged is no excuse for lack of correction, nor is it an excuse for a tolerance of continual sin. Okay? Sometimes people who sin say, you know, and it's, you know, their spiritual Achilles heel, if you will allow a, you know, Greek mythology reference there. Not that that's biblical. I'm just using it as a verbal expression. Don't write me hate mail or anything like that. It's just, you know, it's their weakness. They've got one area of their life, and that is their weakness. And whenever they fall into sin, they say, well, I've already failed. I might as well fail big. There, people end up, you know, really, really damaged, saying, well, I've already failed. I might as well fail big. You know, we need the Holy Spirit to come and empower us. That's really what biblical freedom is about. Biblical freedom is about Jesus breaking our chains and the Holy Spirit coming in and empowering us with the Word of God, with the Spirit of the living God, surrounded by the people of God, equipped with the Word of God, so that we can live the life of holiness that is pleasing and acceptable to God. He enables us to live the life he wanted us and knew that we could live all along. Don't accept this, judge not lest you be judged, so that you don't correct your kids. The Bible says that God disciplines those he loves. So you also have to do correction the way that God does correction. You don't correct people You don't discipline people until your anger subsides and you feel better. I can tell you this, that when I was in business, I hated correcting people. I had to do it. I went round and round and round and round and showed mercy over and over again. But there were times when things just had to be done. And it's like, I just can't let this go. I've got to do my best to either correct your behavior or to deal with the situation. And I always hated doing that. I tell you, I as a child, I hated correction then. It was bad. Because if I got in trouble at school, that didn't happen very much. But if I did get in trouble with my mother, you know what happened next? Then I was in trouble with my father. And it didn't take too much of that to say, you know what? I don't want to do that anymore. So I deal with people the way that I wanted to be dealt with. And that's the way that I deal with people at church. Now, on Sundays, that's the day that we are worshiping the Lord. And I've had a number of times in my past where some of the people that I worked for ended up making me dread going to church on Sundays because of the correction I was going to receive on that day that I was meant to worship God. And I was like, I won't do that. And I've got a pretty good success rate at not, beating people up spiritually on Sunday. I preach the word of God, but I also preach love. We need to make sure that we are looking for sin to cease and not trying to justify its reason for continuing in our life. Continual sin in your life will never bring about anything good in your life. It will bring heartache. It'll bring pain. It will bring misery. I'm not judging you because of a cultural issue. You can call me a boomer if you want. I don't care. But I tell you what I will do. I will love you enough to tell you the truth according to God's word. I said, I refuse to discriminate at Merit Assembly of God. If there's anybody that comes and they're in sin, they're eventually going to hear me talking about repentance, because I want them all. I want us all to hear that Jesus loves us and can forgive us. See you next time.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merit Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, merrittassembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.
Oh, come, all ye faithful, joyful and triumphant. Oh, come ye to Bethlehem. Come and behold him, born the King of angels. Oh, come.